Acts chapter 4 tonight. Kind of a sad story to start off with, for the toad anyways. I was running along a fence for work this week, taking the weed eater, trimming all the grass, and this toad jumped in my way out of nowhere, and I killed it accidentally. Isn't that sad? It's very sad. But thinking about that, there's a lot of religions, or several religions, where that could have been a family member, or it could have been a future family member that we killed because of reincarnation. So weird, but still, what a blessing that there is a true gospel. We don't have to worry about what works we have to do, what caste system we're in. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If all will confess their sins, Jesus will save them. So, weird thought, but still, that's what got to my mind anyways this week. I think I said Acts 3, or Acts 4, I meant Acts 3. Looking into this, Jesus has ascended in chapter 1. The disciples have been given a task to go throughout all the world and preach the gospel. They're still in Jerusalem. They're still figuring out what the Lord wants them to do. The Lord has more to show them. And this lame man in this passage really has caught my attention, and I like talking about him. And we're going to look at him a couple different ways, as a lost person and then as a saved person with what he goes through. And then we're going to look at how people helped this lame person. So, we're going to call him Larry throughout this passage. Instead of lame person, it's too many syllables. Verse 1. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered the temple. First thing, it's very sad. He's never had use of his limbs. He's always had to be carried to this gate. And during that time, there was no, well, you could just go to this government assistance program, we're going to take care of you. No, his only option was, maybe somebody's going to help me out. We have Lazarus, who was set there at the rich man's gate, there in Luke chapter 16, begging alms. Just, I need some food, I need some money, just to survive. At this time, this man's family, growing up, they had to have some way to supply for him. He wasn't able to work. He wasn't able to supply for himself. The family may not have been able to, obviously, supply for him as well. So he had to be out there on his own to just survive. So looking at that, we have that issue. But next, look at, I already mentioned Luke 16. Let's go to Luke chapter 18. I look at a lot of verses and hopefully make it quick, all at the same time. Luke 18, verse 35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. Another passage, this man is called Bartimaeus. So just want to reference, this is just a common thing. We're begging. I already mentioned Lazarus in chapter 16, that, hey, if we need something, we're going to be here to help, be on everybody else's, oh, I want to help him, I want to help Larry, I've seen him, we're going to give him some benefit. Next, daily at the gate. We don't know how, I forgot something. Skip ahead, chapter 4, look at verse 22. Acts chapter 4, verse 22. I forgot one small detail that's mentioned later in the chapter. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. So 40 years, no use of your limbs, being at the mercy of others to get you to the gate just so you can survive. What I want to look at next then is, how many years was Jesus' ministry? 3.5 years. How old was Jesus approximately? 33 and a half years. So this man and Jesus living at the same time. Why is this man still lame? Jesus was going about healing people. Let's look at that. Matthew 21. We're going to look at two references. Matthew to show that Jesus' pattern was to go in and out of the temple, not only to teach, but also to heal. Matthew 21:14, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Well, not Larry. Larry still hasn't been healed. Why? Why has Larry not been healed yet? Okay. Chapter 26:55 of Matthew. In the same hour, and this is just establishing Jesus' pattern, was going in and out of the temple. In that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, "Are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily." How often was the lame man at temple?
Daily.
"And I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hold on me." Back to Acts chapter 3 for a minute. Now he's at the gate of the temple, so to get in, Jesus is going to have to be passing him to some degree during these 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry. And for whatever reason, Larry has not been healed yet. Okay? And just pull it back real quick, apply it to yourself. You know, what is there, you know, what have I dealt with in the past? What might I deal with in the future that I just wonder, Lord, why, what's taking so long? Where are we going to go with this situation, with this, you know, family problem, with the situation at work? When are we going to get an answer to prayer? When are we going to get a solution? We got 40 years sitting lame. What's God's plan? And we see a lot of, as we go through here, we'll see a lot of ways that God worked this out for his own glory, obviously, and just to be an encouragement. That's what God will do to each one of us today. Same God is with Peter and John. Same God is with our lame man here. So we got Jesus daily in the temple. Look at Luke 24. Luke 19:47 says basically the same thing, just establishing Jesus in and out of the temple and having not yet healed our lame man. But looking at this too, in Luke 24, it mentions Jesus having ascended and the disciples are still daily in the temple. Look at verse 53, and they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. So, first, looking at our lame man, Larry, as a lost man, hey, I'm just here. I have no ability of use of my legs. I can't go out and work a normal job. I can't succeed or get farther in life. I'm stuck right here. The God, Jesus, what has he done for me? It doesn't seem like that's his attitude, but as we talk to lost people in the world today, they'll have that same sort of, well, God never did anything for me, or I know somebody at the church that did such and such a thing, so that's why I don't go anymore. Or, you know, that sometimes it's the same for lost people. But that's what, to help us deal with people, that's what they can be thinking. But it doesn't seem like our layman has considered that as we read through here. Next, I have all my verses here in the Bible, and it's all not as organized as I was like. But anyways, pushing forward, we've got the daily, we've got Jesus daily in the temple as well, we've got our disciples, and yet still no healing for our lame man. But real quick, before we move out of this verse, I want to look at whom they laid daily at the gate. Somebody had to help them get there. Obviously, he wasn't getting there on his own. And it wasn't just, I'll get there whenever. No, it was daily. So there was either his family was helping him, his group of friends were helping him, maybe it was a combination of both. But there was somebody there consistently for this person, getting him, helping him, providing for his needs the best that they could to get him through life. So for your lost friends, lost family members, or random people that we meet, are we going to be the they to help get the gospel to them, to get the truth through to them, either by example, by a written word, by a tract, by just, you know, hey, you know, if you need help at work, you know you can ask me to pray about it if you have an issue coming up. And you've heard stories. I'm sure many of you had the issue where they may never come to you to ask about something scriptural, but then when there's an issue that they need help with, hey, could you, you know, family's not doing so well, would you mind going ahead and, you know, pray for me? You know, I know you have, you know, credit with the guy upstairs. Just weird terminology like that. And that's ways that we can establish a testimony with and be a they to people around us. And if we're looking at Larry as a saved man already, health issues, family issues, situations that they're going through that you know, we may not be able to fix their problem. Many times we can't, but we can be a support, we can be a help, we can be that they who's consistently assisting them with whatever we can help with in getting them, you know, closer to God or can be an encouragement to them. All right, that's enough time in verse 2. Moving into verse 3, our lame man, who's seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple as alms, doing what he always did, who knows for sure, this is a lot of surmising. Who knows if he's met Peter and John before? I'd say it's very likely, but that's once again just surmising. Verse 4, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." You know, we've got, thinking back to Sarah, "Oh, you're going to have a son." Well, Sarah did. She laughs. I mean, we don't know what he thought in his mind. He's been here sitting in this gate for 40 years. He may have known about Jesus. "Oh, yeah, sure. I remember Joe. He got healed. And then there was the guy at the pool of Bethsaida. He got his function back. If I could just get some food, if I could just get some money, I'll be happy with that. But don't fool with me about being, you know, getting my rising up and walk." We don't know if that's what he's thought, but still. And verse 7, "And Peter, he took him up by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength." One thing I forgot to mention was that a common issue being for even infants today is still something called clubfoot, which is just a deformation that they're born with. And thankfully, more today, you can have a surgery to help solve that. But back in first century, well, it would have been the end of B.C. before Christ, obviously, when he was born, there was no special medicine like that. So you just had to deal with it. So immediately, not, you know the faith healers, you know the guys saying, "Oh, well, you know, you spend so much money, you put your hand on the TV, and right now you believe with me, and you right there will have your miracle." It's kind of hard to do a miracle through a TV. It's hard, kind of hard to do and you're healed. And most of the time, all of the faith healers are having, "Well, you got to have more faith. You got to have this. You got to do that." What does Peter say? First off, he's not saying the name of Peter. He's not saying the name of, an organization. It's in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, and immediately feet and ankle bones received strength. That's great. That's awesome. Your ankles, you can walk and everything. Have you ever seen the video clips? Obviously, you have. Lambs being born, elephants being born, any animal in each, you know, that's born. How well do they walk? They're staggering all over the place and falling down. Well, that's what this man should have done, because he'd never walked before. He didn't have the mindset, the ability to know how to move those legs. He'd never walked before. But that proves the way God heals. It's not a partial healing. It's not a little bit of healing over time. You work more, we'll give you the rest of healing. No, it's immediately. So he received the strength. Verse 8, he gets the healing in the brain as well to know how to use those limbs. He, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. And to me, just reading through there, it's just amazing to see that. That's the way Jesus did all those miracles throughout, Mark. One of the key words in Mark being immediately. We're just getting down to business. We're doing this. We're busy about the Father's work. Just a fascinating thing all through the book of Mark. But what's this man's response? What's Larry's response? "God has healed me." Verse 9, "And all the people saw him walking and praising God." Once again, let's reestablish. 40 years old. How many people have come through these gates? I can't quite picture the structure of this temple and how the gates were all laid out. I didn't look into that. But how many times have people been through here, seen Larry, And now all of a sudden, Larry's walking, running, and praising God. And we go back to verse 2 and wonder, okay, why has God not healed me yet? Why has God not answered my problem yet? And then just remember this, maybe for, you know, look back to how God's worked in your life before. Wow, that's kind of how God worked it out. Look forward as, you know, be prepared when new struggles come up, new situations come up. How is God going to work it out? You may never know the answer. You really may not. We're looking back all the way for this information here. Larry only had it right as he was living it. But we can see we have a very, very, very young church. We have the disciples haven't spread out yet. They're supposed to be spreading out, getting the gospel to the world. We're still right in Israel, which is okay. But still, God's using all these little pieces to get the gospel out. So not only was the lame man instrumental in that, but also the they who were helping the lame man were instrumental in getting the gospel slowly out into the world. And so just don't discount, and it's so, so easy to do. You're like, I know for me, like, Lord, huh? Okay, what are we doing here? Forgetting that 1,000 years is one day with the Lord, yeah. One day is 1,000 years. But mankind, we get in a hurry, and it's just easy to do. Verse 10, and everybody knew, and they knew it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement. Once again, the Jews needed a sign. They needed those miracles to establish the fact Jesus was their Messiah. All throughout the Old Testament, it's miracles and signs. How are we going to get out of Egypt? We got to have 10 plagues. Oh, okay, you are God. Well, how are we going to get through the Red Sea now? We're going to open up the Red Sea. Oh, you're God. We got to have those miracles and signs to prove to Israel that Jesus was God. Let's see. Verse 10, they knew that it was he which sat for alms and were filled with wonder and amazement. Verse 11. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people, I don't know how many people, all the people ran together unto him in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk? So you get man's natural inclination. Wow, these men are wonderful. This is just amazing what these men have been able to do. Let's see here. He goes into this message that goes until, let's see here, all the way to the end of Acts. We're not going to really touch on a lot of that, but he's talking with Israel saying, hey, Jesus was the one, you murdered him, he was your Messiah, you didn't understand it. Look at verse 16 real quick, just to emphasize the healing that our friend Larry had. And in his name, through faith in his name, speaking of Jesus, hath made this man strong. It wasn't that man's works. It wasn't this man going to church. It wasn't, you know, following a list of rules. It was faith in Jesus that made him whole. Whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So that, you know, that complete healing, not just a half healing like we mentioned, but that's just a nice reference there to establish that fact. Interesting comment as well, verse 18, Peter hearkening back to the Old Testament, how that they, the prophets, look at verse 18, before hath showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. And then once again, verse 21 mentions the same sentiment there. So Peter said, hey, Jesus was one of us. The prophets spoke of him. You better believe him. And that's what we're, you know, the slow church growing. There's trying to get get Israel to understand this is your Messiah. Look at end of chapter 3. Nope, go down to verse 4, or chapter 4. So that's great. We've got our man has his healing. Everybody's excited. We're all, you know, just glory in the temple. Praise Jesus. Verse 1. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. And the Sadducees are called that because of what? They're Sadducees. Because they did not believe in the resurrection. So I want to make sure everybody's on board with that. Verse 2, being grieved. Oh, there's somebody's been healed in the temple. There's rejoicing in the temple. Somebody's been healed. Oh. How could that be? And they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Verse 3, and they laid hands, look at this word, on them. Okay, who's them? Who's them? Yes, Peter, John, and who else? Our lame man goes to jail. Isn't that fun? He's been 40 years at the gate, and he has to be carried back and forth. He gets restored his health, and he knows Jesus healed him, and now he gets to go to jail. Wow, look at the way God moves. Not everything's going to be easy peasy. Not everything will be how we want it to be in this life. It's not always going to make sense. It's so easy to say that. It's a totally different thing to live that. And yet we should and need to. In verse 3, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for now it was eventide. I wonder if Larry was still rejoicing and jumping and leaping. I sure hope he was. Verse 4, howbeit many of them which heard the word, and the number of the men was about 5,000. So, I was saying I didn't know how many people were in the temple. We can surmise maybe 5,000, or maybe that number was from this person. Hey, did you hear what happened in the temple? Did you hear what happened at the temple? I don't know, but we had 5,000 people that believed on Jesus because Larry, our lame man, was lame at that gate for 40 years. And he didn't get healed. He didn't get healed 3.5 years before. When Jesus was teaching, he had to wait that whole 40 years. And because of that, and because of the faithful them who were taking him there, God was able to use him, his faithful servants, Peter and John, 5,000 more people put into the church to once again establish that Jesus is the Messiah, Israel. Now get out there, tell the world, tell the Gentiles that the Messiah has come. Moving down into verse 5. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and the elders and the scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John Alexander and many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. Verse 7. And when they set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, not half whole, once again, completely whole, perfected, being known to you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Once again, just establishing that guy went to jail with Peter and John. And this is a stone which was set not of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name among heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. Once again, a good word study there is going through and looking at the ways marveled is used through the Bible. And they took knowledge of them and that they had been with Jesus. Another little thought, how many times can people look at us and say, oh, you've been with Jesus. There is some residue of Jesus on you. Verse 14, and behold, the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing. What are they going to say? Well, that guy, he's standing there. Look at beholding the man which was healed standing. That guy wasn't doing that for 40 years. And all of a sudden, right there, he's standing. What are we going to say? All they could say was, we just don't like you, we don't like your message, and we don't like your Messiah. And that's all they could say. And verse 15, when they had commanded them to go outside of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do? Skip down. Verse 17. They kind of reprimand them, but that it spread no further among the people, lest straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. Ooh, scary. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge we. Verse 21, so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them, because the people, for all men, glorified God for that which was done. Verse 22, for the man was about above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was showed. So a lot of things there, a lot of ideas, a lot of thoughts. But one thing I'd just like to, you know, have you take home with you and, you know, think about is just, you know, whatever you're going through, whatever comes up in the future, God can use it, God will use it. And, you know, hopefully by, you know, your attitude, my attitude, and how we get through that, God is ultimately glorified. Because we know He's done it, and He will, can do it before. Again.